I remember that day, Blake, and the funny thought that I had afterwards, I was on the golf course. I was just getting in my car to go to my tee time when a friend of mine emailed me and said, Coach Smith passed away tonight, and then I called the station immediately. So we went into that day, and it was a great day of reminiscing. I think that so many people spoke, and with so many great stories, that the station actually made a CD of it and sent it to Linnea Smith, and the family really appreciated that. But the afterthought I had with that was I fully expected to get a message from Dean Smith saying, Art, you should have never canceled your tee time for me, because that's the kind of person he was. You know, he would never want you to do anything for him. He would never want you to praise him when you could be praising his players. He never wanted any attention of any kind. I mean, he was amazing. Now, on the flip side of that, I mean, he was as competitive as anybody that I've ever met, and of course, you know, I'm sure he had an ego. When you're competitive, you know, you want to be the best, and you have to have an ego about that. But his ego was under wraps for most of the time. And he was, you know, as the years pass, I find myself thinking back earlier. And the reason, I just finished a book that's coming out in this summer with UNC Press on the 1960s in Chapel Hill. And It has largely about Dean Smith and what he was like in the 60s. And he was not the iconic coach then. He was a coach who was basically fighting for his job, because when he got it in the summer of 1961, after Frank McGuire left, Bill Aycock appointed him head basketball coach, just as he had appointed Jim Hickey when Jim Tatum died 2 years earlier. Bill Aycock was an educator. He didn't want to be bothered with search committees and pressure from alumni, so we just elevated Dean Smith. And, of course, Frank McGuire was such a huge, bigger-than-life character. The alumni wanted another big-name coach. So they were on Dean Smith's back pretty much for the first 5 years that he was coaching. And even though he did bring Charlie Scott in to break the color barrier with Carolina Athletics, and he counseled Charlie on some sticky situations with the black student movement. He stood in the anti-war vigils at the old post office. He was, in the book, he was a quiet crusader in the 60s, because, you know, his main job was to coach his basketball team and to keep his job. And people remember him. It's like, you know, if people are icons, they weren't born icons. You know, they grew into them.
It's been really incredible to hear some of those stories by way of kind of surrogates and word of mouth at this point. I remember Gene Nickel at the memorial service for William Aycock, who we also lost in 2015, right, talking about the big donors and alumni coming in to say, we want Dean gone after a bad year, and leaving that conversation and coming back into the room and saying, I just gave him an extension. Are we done here? can we move on? But those stories, paired with hearing from people like William Thorpe, the son of Bill Thorpe, whenever both of those names were put on the memorial there at Peace and Justice Plaza this year, right, to hear about so many of those areas where off the court, Dean not only was part of the discussion, but driving a lot of the change during that era. And of course, that's where a lot of people are going to remember him, but also the Dean Smith Award this year that was given out for the first time to Big John Thompson there. There's so many great ways to be able to look back and remember such an amazing life.
Yeah, it was a wonderful year in memory of him. And that, you know, the thing in the Smith Center where Roy had everybody pointing to the sky at the end, it was great. But you know, I have so many memories of Coach Smith. You know, obviously, you know, what a recruiter, what a coach. He was very, you know, he really hated, it's funny, it was ironic. He didn't like the fact that players could leave early for the pros, but he pushed them out when he thought it was time for them to go. James Worthy didn't want to go. Michael Jordan didn't want to go. Phil Ford didn't go because he said, who's going to tell my mother if I leave early? But you know, it was the right thing for the kid to do. Eddie Fogler, who was an assistant coach at Carolina at the time, and my good friend, we were two of the principal owners that started Four Corners Restaurant back in 1980. And Coach Smith gave Eddie his blessing, said maybe he can make a little bit, you know, more money than we can pay him at this time. And so he would often call up anywhere, you know, different places around town, and order a sandwich, and when he was out doing an errand, run by and pick it up. Well, you know, he called one up and ordered one, and he walked in the front door, and he was in line, you know. He didn't want to walk in front of anybody, you know, so he just kind of sheepishly stood back there. Well, the next time he called up, he said, I want the same sandwich, but I'm coming in the back door. I'm coming in through the kitchen. So have it at the end of the bar. So we had the sandwich at the end of the bar. He walked into the kitchen. Now imagine, this is in the 80s, you know. I mean, imagine the cooks and dishwashers back there and the waitstaff. Dean Smith is walking through your kitchen in the restaurant. So he walks in, and he picks up the sandwich, and he walks out. And when I saw Eddie later, I said, Coach came in to pick up a sandwich. How did he like it? He said, Coach said it was okay, but he said his sandwich was good, but he looked at the corned beef and it looked kind of greasy.
Those are the best. I mean, everybody remembers 82, 93, you know, the great teams that came through. But those stories are always going to be the ones that
makes him human. You know, yeah, he was a great humanitarian, but he was also human. He had his foibles like everybody else. And, you know, Linnea Smith has always joked that, you know, he had this gene inside of him where he just wanted to take care of everybody at the same time, even if two people he wanted to take care of were competing,
right,
you know, like on opposite sides of whatever they were in the opposite sides of. Dean wanted to take care of both of them at the same time.